Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and get into his word for this week. And we are going to be in Joshua chapter 9, and we're going to start with verse 3. It says, "But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they on their part acted with cunning and went and made ready provisions and took worn out sacks for their donkeys and wineskins, worn out and torn and mended, with worn out patched sandals on their feet and worn out clothes, and all their provisions were dry and crumbly. And they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, 'We have come from a distant country, so now make a covenant with us.'" So where we are here in the book of Joshua is the children of Israel have crossed over the Jordan River. They have captured Jericho. We read of what happened in Jericho, of how they marched around the city for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they marched around it seven times. And the walls of the city came crumbling down, and they were able to overtake Jericho. So here was this town, which was very well fortified, but Yahweh fighting on their behalf tore down the walls and brought victory unto Israel. So the inhabitants of Gibeon has heard of the stories, okay? We even see later on in the chapter that they were aware of what happened in Egypt, of how God had delivered Israel out of Egypt. And now they're hearing the stories of how Jericho fell, and then how Israel captured Ai. And so they are fearful of Israel, because they know that if they don't do something, that they are facing certain defeat. So they come up with a plan. They begin to act, as this scripture says, cunningly, in order to come into a covenant, to enter into a peace treaty with Israel. So their hope is, well, maybe we can make peace with them so that they don't conquer us and we can still live. Because if we don't make peace with them, they will surely conquer us. And so as we kind of think about the story and we think about how this goes, it really speaks a lot about how our enemy, the devil himself, works. He is very cunning. He works in deception. He tries to deceive people, right? Now, see, the devil is fearful of every believer out there, because he knows that that believer who has the spirit of the living God inside of them is able to defeat him. They have the ability to defeat him. He knows that. He knows he is a defeated foe when it comes to every believer out there and to every person to whomever would believe in Yeshua. He knows he would be defeated. So just as the inhabitants of Gibeon acted cunningly, the devil acts the same way. He acts cunningly. He acts in deception, trying to deceive us, even in a way to where maybe he can get us to come into agreement, or we could say compromise. Well, we compromise in things in our lives, and we are at peace, maybe with sin in our life, because of the deception that he brings along the path, or that he chooses to deceive us with, because his only hope is to deceive us. So we need to be alert. We need to be aware. What does Peter tell us? Peter tells us to be sober, be vigilant. So be aware, be alert, be awake, be on the watch out. For the devil roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he is out running through this world, seeking those whom he may devour, and he's going to do that through deception. So we need to be sober and we need to be vigilant. We need to be awake, aware, on our toes, and ready to spot the deception of the evil one. If we are not alert or aware, then we can easily fall into the snare of his trap. Just as we read on in this story, we're going to see that Israel makes a mistake. They fall for the deception. And because they fail for the deception, they're going to get stuck what you would call a thorn in their side, because they can't get rid of that which they were told to get rid of. They also fall for deception because they made another fatal error, which we're going to see here in a bit. So let's go ahead and look at verse 7 here. But the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you live among us. Then how can we make a covenant with you?" So Israel's response is, "Perhaps you live among us." So they are looking at the fact of, are you from among us? Because remember, what was the command given unto them? They were to go into the land. They were to inhabit the whole land. They were to kick everybody out. They were to destroy everything that was in the land. They were not to leave any in the land. They were not to make a peace treaty with any of the inhabitants of the land. They were to be vomited out of the land. This was to get rid of any temptation, any sin, anything that would be a thorn in the side of Israel moving forward and worshiping God the way he wanted them to worship him, according to his Torah. But when they chose not to do this, they allowed for temptation to stay in the land. So that is why God told Israel to vomit them out of the land. This was not out of cruelty. This was not because he hated them just because of who they were. This was because he had a covenant with Israel, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And remember, when he told Abraham that he was going to inherit the land, he was told it won't be for 400 years because the iniquity of the people in the land has not been full yet. So he gave the inhabitants 400 years to repent of their sin, and they never did. So they're being vomited out because of the wickedness of their own hearts and their ways. And God does not want this wicked people that he's expelling out of his land to stay there to lead his people astray when he brings them into the land. So the command given to Israel was for all the people to be vomited out of the land, to be kicked out of the land, to be destroyed. So they're not to make a peace treaty. So that's why they're saying, do you live among us? Are you of this land? Okay. But the question is, does Israel do their due diligence and making sure that this group of people, the Hivites, are not of the land? We're going to see they actually fail at that here. Let's look at verse 8. They said to Joshua, "We are your servants." And Joshua said to them, "Who are you? And where do you come from?" And they said to him, "From a very distant country your servants have come, because of the name of Yahweh your God, for we have heard a report of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who are beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth." So here, as Joshua is speaking to them, they begin to speak to Joshua almost in the terms of, you know, "We have heard," we're from a very far distant land, "we have heard what Yahweh has done for you, and we have come to worship him." It is almost as if that's what it's sounding as they talk unto Joshua here. Now, remember how Israel was told to not make covenant with the people of the land. It speaks kind of unto us in the same terms of when it comes into sin. To not make covenant, to not make peace with sin that is in our lives, right? So they were to get rid of all the people. We're to get rid of all the sin out of our lives. It is an everyday battle, an everyday fight of laying down our cross daily, getting rid of the sin that is in our life, not living at peace with the sin that's in our life, not making peace with temptation that is in our life, as Israel made peace with this group of people. And they end up making peace with them because of the deception. And that's how the evil one works with us. He will bring deception, and through deception, he will cause us to compromise and make peace with sin. So this group of people is presenting themselves as if we are here to worship your God. We've heard the great things he has done, and that is why we are here. We're from a very far and distant land. They are deceiving them to make peace with them. It's the same thing that the devil does with sin. He will paint sin as something that it's not. He will lead us astray and deceive us into thinking that something is okay to do. It's okay if you do that. It's okay if you continue to do that. It won't bring destruction. It won't destroy you. It won't hurt you. There won't be any consequences if you choose to continue in that behavior. That is the deception of the evil one. Let's look at verse 11. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country said to us, take provisions in your hand for the journey and go to meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Come now, make a covenant with us. Here is our bread. It was still warm when we took it from our houses, as our food for the journey on the day we set out to come to you. But now behold, it is dry and crumbly. These wineskins were new when we filled them, and behold, they have burst. And these garments and sandals of ours are worn out from the very long journey. So we see here what their deception was. They left their land with old wineskins. They left their land with dry and crumbly bread. But yet when they get to Joshua, they say, look at our bread. It was still warm. It was fresh when we left on our journey. And now you can see how old this bread is. That's how long our journey was. Look at our wineskins. They were brand new when we filled them up. And look how they have burst, how old they are. So they deceive them. They trick them. It's the very thing that temptation will do to us if we're not sober, if we're not alert, if we're not aware. Temptation will trick us. So look at verse 14. So the men took some of their provisions, but did not ask counsel from Yahweh. And Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore to them. So the Hivites have come. They have presented their case to Joshua. And so the men of Israel take of their provisions of what they brought, but chose not to ask counsel from Yahweh. They chose not to ask him for guidance, for wisdom, or what they should do. They never take the matter to Yahweh. Instead, they choose to make the decision on their own understanding, on their own wisdom, using their own hearts. And we have to be careful with making decisions from our hearts, because our hearts will lead us astray. We have to have something that guides us in our decision making. They chose not to seek Yahweh's counsel. Okay? We have a Bible in front of us that is filled with his counsel. It's filled with his commands and his instructions and teaching us and leading us on what and how we should behave. Okay? So when we are faced with temptation, we don't have to rely upon what our understanding might be, what our hearts may feel, because if we lean upon our hearts, our heart will lead us astray. When faced with temptation, we should seek the thing that does not change. We should seek the thing that is righteous, that is pure, that is holy, that sets the course for our lives. And that is his scripture. That is his Torah, the very law that he has given us, which instructs us on how to love him and how to love people. It is our guiding light in this world. It is our light. It shines a path in front of our feet and directs us and leads us and guides us in decision-making and how to overcome temptation. We also have the ability to just simply seek and pray and ask him. We go hand in hand with both of these things because we will never be guided to do something that is contrary to his word. If you're feeling like you're being guided to do something that is contrary to his word, you're not hearing his voice, but you're being led astray by your heart. It's the very reason why we have to be grounded in his word, why we need to know his word, why we need to constantly be meditating upon his word, because it is going to be the compass for our lives. And without it, we will be led astray. We will fall into deception and be deceived, just as Israel was deceived here in this story. Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them that they would let them live, that they would not destroy them. So this group of people would stay in the land to be a temptation unto the children of Israel because of one deception that Israel was not awake enough to spot and see when it came. Had Joshua just taken the time to seek Yahweh's face on this matter, he would have been guided in the truth and he would have known that the Hivites were not from a faraway land, but from a very nearby location. But in their pride, they chose not to seek Yahweh's counsel. And let's look at verse 16. At the end of 3 days, after they had made a covenant with them, they heard that they were neighbors and that they lived among them. So that is where they see that they were deceived. And it was too late. They had already made the covenant. They could not back out of the covenant. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and turn away from evil. So what was Israel's mistake here? Instead of trusting in Yahweh with all their heart, trusting in him in all their heart would have been seeking him in this matter. But they didn't. They didn't trust in him. They did the exact opposite of what this verse says. It says, do not lean on your own understanding. But they chose to lean on their own understanding. And because they didn't acknowledge him, their path was not made straight, you could say. Because they entered into covenant with an evil and wicked people who would later go on to be a source of temptation for them, causing them to leave the straight and narrow path and to wander to the right and to the left. So we need to learn what it means to trust in Yahweh with all of our hearts. What does it mean not to lean on our own understanding, but to seek and trust in Him when it comes into the matters of decision making and what to do? Because if we get wise in our own eyes, as Israel did, they chose in their understanding. And being wise in their eyes, they broke Yahweh's commandment. We're told not to be wise in our own eyes, but fear Yahweh and turn away from evil. So not to be wise in our own eyes, but we are to be wise. And there is something that makes us wise, and that is His Torah. That is the law that He has given us. It makes us wise. We need to be wise unto His righteousness. We need to be wise unto His scripture and His words and His commands. And simple unto that which is evil. If we get wise in our own eyes, we get wise into that which is evil, that which is contrary to His law. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Messiah. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if His servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. So just as the Hivites disguise themselves as someone who is from far away, as someone who is not an enemy or a threat unto them, Satan will disguise himself as an angel of light, and his servants will disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. So when He appears in temptation, it's not going to appear as something that is obviously wicked. He is going to appear and He is going to bring temptation that appears and looks as to be something that is good. It's going to look good. It's going to sound good. It's going to sound right. It's going to sound moral. It's going to sound like the right thing to do. And if we're not careful, and we try to make the decision based upon our own understanding, upon our own hearts, our hearts and our own understanding will lead us astray, and we will fall for the deception that is out there. I mean, you can look out there and you can see some of the movements that are going on out there that shrouds itself in this angel of light. On surface level, it appears to be good. It appears to be something that is needed. But under it all, there is destruction and there is evil. And if it is embraced, it will destroy our society. But because the outside appears as an angel of light unto that which is good, people buy it and they grab onto it, hook, line, and sinker. And they are being deceived and led into destruction. So we have to learn from the mistake of Israel. We need to be aware that the temptation and the deception that is coming is going to appear as something that is right and something that is good. And we need to be able to discern what is evil and what is righteousness. And how do we discern? It is by trusting in Yahweh. It is by leaning on Him, seeking His counsel, not trying to make the decision on our own understanding. You know, many will be deceived and many will fall away. Yeshua tells us that. Because the worker of lawlessness, the anti-Messiah, is going to come and he is going to do signs and wonders. And many will be deceived and many will fall away because they did not love the truth. So it brings me back to the Torah. His Torah is truth. They didn't love his law because what does his law do again? It is our compass. It is a thing that sets that which is righteousness. It defines righteousness for us. So because they did not love his law, they didn't embrace his law, they weren't guided by his law, they fell into the deception of the evil one because the deception appeared to be righteousness. Let that sink in. Well, hallelujah. Hope that you have enjoyed this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So we hope you come back and join us. And shalom, y'all.